In the epistle today, taken from the Old Testament book of Judith, the church reads, "Thou hast not spared thy life, but prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." When someone dies after a long and painful illness, people, feeling the need to say something, confidently pronounce, "She suffered enough." And then comes the follow-up, "Well, she's in heaven now." That's not true. To say it shows you haven't a clue about heaven or suffering or God, because you are not God, and you do not know his ways. St. Paul told us on Trinity Sunday that his ways are unsearchable and his judgments incomprehensible. But it is true of one woman, the great sign that appears in the heavens, a woman who is clothed with the sun, all brightness and lightness and glory. And the moon rules the night, that sometimes long and painful night of our sojourn on this earth with all of its sorrows and its sufferings. The moon is under her feet, but beautiful still. The church says of Our Lady that she is as beautiful as the moon, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she has suffered enough, and she is in heaven now. The first fruits of redemption. And that's why we bless the first fruits and the flowers and the herbs today. Redeemed, for so must all children of Eve be, but in advance, by the blood of her own Son, his precious blood. In order to be worthy to be the mother of the Redeemer, she is also the first and the greatest co-redemptrix, cooperating as much as a creature could in the great buyback, God's plan to crush the serpent and sin and death at Calvary. And in some little way, you and I must follow her as co-redeemers too. But hers alone was it to cooperate in the work of the Incarnation. She is Mother of God, Spouse of the Holy Ghost. And for that reason is she Mother of Sorrows. She suffered enough. She is allowed, she is privileged to feel the sword of sorrow, that sort of sorrow even unto the mystical separation of flesh and spirit. Because for her, as for him, suffering is something to be desired, to be embraced. Suffering's an odd thing. Original sin leaves its traces and payments on a pretty much regular basis have to be made. Our participation in Christ's death, which in baptism washed the guilt away, still leaves some few glistening drops of grief, which we must collect to fill up what is left, St. Paul, of the Passion of Christ. She is a martyr then, Mary is, queen of martyrs. And everyone who takes up his cross to follow Christ stands close to the cross. as Our Lady did at Calvary. What's our job? What's our call? What's our privilege? Insofar as we may be able to bear it, one of our prayers phrases it, to fill up in our own body and soul and mind the sufferings that are lacking in the mystical body of Christ, the Church today. The mystical Christ, the Catholic Church, after the example of her head and her heart, the Blessed Mother, and you, for there is an appointed measure of suffering for each to contribute to enrich the rest of the body, the Church. And thus, we love and we honor and we wonder at the saints, for they did more than venerate suffering. They yearned for it, prayed for it as a holy gift. The martyrs and all saints, because what saint is not a martyr in some sense? They loved suffering. But what a mystery for us, the children of men, who could grasp it. Oh, we try to bear our cross these crazy days of universal affliction and attack, of confusion and fear. When it comes to suffering anymore, there's a variety pack of pain, a multi-pack available right over the counter. We wonder at it, though. Why didn't Jesus, as some Protestants hold, just keep all of his sufferings to himself, the good stuff for us? For Christ, that would be like hoarding a treasure. That would be avarice, like your average oligarch locking up his freshly and ill-gained billions, with which he could, were he to be so minded, do an awful lot of good. So much remains to be done. And greater things, our Lord assures us, greater things than I did, you're meant to do. His friends, he shares his treasures with them. All of your watching and your worry and your sighs and your tears are privileged to cooperate in the world's salvation. Look at Our Lady. Yes, look today, this day of triumph and of such joy, this day of completion. She is in heaven, and we know this for a truth by faith. But so much remains to be done on earth. And that's the reason why she returns from time to time. Like any mother, she couldn't stay away to speak to children, especially sometimes to privileged souls. She, whose privilege it was not only to bear God, she his mother, but to die with him, her son, our Lord, mystically but truly. But what mother would not do so? She hath not spared her life, she far more than Judith of old, by reason of the distress and the tribulation of her people. Mystically, but truly she died. Greater pain, the saints say, did she suffer than that of 1,000, count it, 1,000 deaths, more sufferings than that of the martyrs all combined, says St. Alphonsus. This is why, when her earthly course was completed, she could just quietly fall asleep. She had already died once there with and next to her son, when in blood she gave birth to us, her children. She quietly fell asleep. Then I think it was angels came and gently awakened her to unspeakable glory. Like her son, she died once and dieth now no more. She is in heaven now. And we, well, probably the next stop for most of us will be purgatory. We deal with our sorrows so poorly, after all. But we should still have the goal to go straight there. But it's not for us to say. This winter, I think it was, one of the fathers in another chapel had a funeral, and as he was preparing for the Mass, the daughter of the deceased came into the sacristy to announce to him that under no circumstances was he to preach about purgatory today. She probably heard what those traditional Catholics get up to in the funeral sermons. And Father, I think, was patient with her, more patient than she deserved, but he certainly spoke about purgatory. It is a place of punishment. Yes, the souls there are tortured with flames, but the saints say, too, it is a place of incredible joy and of peace. We must serve out the time remaining for our sentence. It is a place of purification and of purgation, but also, you know, it is a place of preparation. Think of purgatory as a school. Nobody, at least some of the time, nobody wants to go to school, but everybody needs to. Else, however will you be prepared for life? In this school, it is a school of suffering, yes, but you learn. What do you learn? You learn how to live in glory. God's ways are not man's ways. Look, today she ascends, the living ark of the covenant, the Queen of Heaven, and yes, the Queen of Martyrs. Are you suffering? Do you know those who are terribly burdened with it? Take yourself, take them to Mary. She has suffered enough, but she will help us on our way as long as there's work still to do. The way? Well, it's the way to heaven. For she, as must we, followed the way. And what's the way? I am the way, said Jesus at the Last Supper. Just follow Mary, and you'll be okay. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.